This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. A year ago today, the United States told the United Nations to withdraw its weapons inspectors from Iraq. At the time, Hans Blix, the UN's chief weapons inspector for Iraq, was preparing a last-ditch attempt to disarm the country and avoid war. But the call he got from the State Department ended his efforts. Blix, who retired last June, has written about his experiences in a new book titled Disarming Iraq. Blix says initially he did believe Iraq still had weapons of mass destruction. When his inspectors failed to find them, Blix became skeptical, despite the Bush administration's strong insistence to the contrary. He expressed his doubts to the U.S. National Security Advisor.
I said to Condoleezza Rice that we were not impressed by the intelligence, and I remember she said, intelligence is never 100%. But it is not intelligence that is indicted, it's the Iraqis who are. And I told Blair also that I was not impressed. I said, in fact, that wouldn't it be paradoxical if you marched in with 300,000 men and you found nothing? And he said, oh, no, there is something. All the intelligence agencies are agreed, and even the Egyptian one. So I think they were convinced.
Did they tell you where to look?
Yes, they did. They gave us sites, and that's where, when I became suspicious, then we didn't find anything. And if we had been given more time, in March, April, May, and we would have gone to more sites suggested by intelligence and not found any because there weren't any weapons, then my guess is that the intelligence themselves would have become suspicious about the solidity of their information.
Of course, suspicion that Iraq might have such weapons was bolstered by Iraqi resistance to the inspection process. Why did Iraq resist inspection if it had no weapons?
Well, you have to look at that carefully, and I think for the time being we can only speculate. But one reason could well have been that Saddam was told that sanctions would not be lifted unless he, Saddam, disappeared. That didn't give him much of an incentive to cooperate with inspectors. There could have been another factor that they wanted to look dangerous and interesting, somewhat like hanging a sign on your door, beware of the dog, without having a dog. There could have been a third reason in pride. When the inspectors wanted to go to Saddam's palaces or to his ministries, that they simply felt proud and injured. There could also have been a fear that if the inspectors went to sites for conventional weapons, that the inspectors would pass on information to their military authorities, since there was a very close link between the inspectors and the intelligence agencies.
And if they did destroy their weapons, they did not document that destruction.
Yes. What they said consistently was that they destroyed it in 1991. But of course, they refused to have any inspectors present in 91, and that raised the suspicion with everybody, including me, that they kept some. And then they said they hadn't any documentation. That also made us suspicious. But at the end, when we were there in February, they were sort of desperate, and they were then giving us names of people who had participated in the transportation and the destruction action. And it is just conceivable that they did destroy it. In fact, no weapons were found after 94. That's publicly reported, but not much noticed.
Did you believe the United States was going to invade Iraq no matter what?
No, I did not. I thought that they were making a build-up, which started already in the summer 2002. Without such a build-up, I don't think the Iraqis would have accepted inspection in the first place. Military pressure is a necessary ingredient. And the U.S. continued to build it up, and I think they perhaps felt that one day Iraqi would crack, and they would open up and say, here it is, and here we will come clean, etc. But they didn't.
So Saddam could have done something to prevent invasion?
Absolutely.
Why didn't he do it?
Could be that Saddam was not sufficiently well informed about the danger of the situation. We don't know what trickled up to him. A dictator gets isolated and people tell him what he wants to think. Another possibility is that he trusted his fate, as it were. He had been in many situations in his life in which he managed to sneak out. And the latest one being in 1991, when the troops of the Security Council and the U.S. stopped and did not pursue Saddam and depose him at that time. It's been criticized. I think that President Bush, the elder, was right, because he had built up a coalition of the whole world, including the Arab states, which had enormous political importance. If he had continued up to Baghdad and done away with Saddam, all that would have been destroyed.
Why do you suppose the Bush administration continued to believe its intelligence even though it knew that some of that intelligence already had been proven wrong?
Well, I think they were very strongly believers, this sort of faith-based thing. Saddam was evil, which is true. I mean, he was a pretty good representative of the evil. No one can deny that. And plus the conduct of the Iraqis during the 90s. But I still think I'm critical of the way that they lacked critical thinking. I mean, if you sentence someone to death or you sentence someone to a war, you better have some evidence. And we did not feel there was evidence. We couldn't contradict. They might have some, which they hadn't shown us. What they had shown was not impressive. And I think that's the critique one would feel against both the UK and the US, that the leadership did not exercise sufficient critical judgment.
But you agree with President Bush that the world is better off without Saddam Hussein?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I don't think that was a justification for the armed intervention in terms of international law, in terms of the Charter of the UN, etc. And I don't think that the justification they advanced, that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, was sufficiently well-founded. This is one thing. But another thing that now, a year later, we can draw a balance sheet. There are lots of bad things coming out. A lot of people died, and certainly terrorism has not abated after this, but rather increased. Was there something good? Yes, Saddam and his regime is gone, and it was one of the most brutal and horrible regimes we have seen in the world. So that was a good part of it.
Was getting rid of Saddam worth the cost?
Well, no. I mean, I think the balance for the time being is a negative one. I hope warmly that they will come to a democratic regime, but I think a lot of fairly facile arguments were made before the war that the U.S. has managed to set up or bring into being democratic regimes in Germany and in Japan. Well, Iraq was not a Germany or Japan, so we haven't seen any of that. We haven't seen that it stopped terrorism, and they couldn't take out the weapons of mass destruction because they weren't there. So I don't think the balance sheet comes out in favor of the action. Would have been far better if they had waited some months. If inspections had continued, either we would have convinced intelligence and others that there was nothing in the places that they were indicated. See, they were 100% convinced that there were weapons of mass destruction, and they had zero knowledge of where it was.
Britain's Prime Minister Tony Blair will neither confirm nor deny reports that the British bugged UN offices in New York. Do you have reason to believe you were bugged?
Well, sometimes I thought so, and we always assumed that it was likely. And it's an uneasy, unpleasant feeling. However, it didn't worry me unduly because I was not saying anything very different on the internal lines than I did publicly. So in substance, it didn't bother me, but it's an unpleasant feeling. Nowadays, I say somewhat jokingly that, look, it's one thing they bugged us. I wish they had listened more attentively to what we said.
Hans Blix, former UN Chief Weapons Inspector for Iraq. His new book is Disarming Iraq. My full interview with Blix is at npr.org.